Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 31. And while you are making your way there, in Ephesians 2:13, we have the Word of God saying, "But now in Christ, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." At certain times, there's a point of time when you were afar off, but the blood made you nigh. And then in verse 15, to make in himself of two one new man. And of course, the two is the Savior and us. And we are with Him the one new man. So making peace. And so there were times where there was separation, and the blood dealt with that. And then there are times when we have peace, and that is the result of the blood and the cross. And we are now in these times one with our Savior. There are times of God. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and he talked about the times. We have to understand that there are times that are ordained. In fact, all of our times are ordained. In verse 14 of Psalm 31, the Word of God says, "I trusted in Thee, O Lord." Now this is when people were slandering Him and He was afraid. And then He says, "I trusted in Thee, O Lord," because the slanderers made Him afraid. And then He continues, "You are my God. My times are in your hand." Now the word "are" is not actually there. It just says, "My times in your hand. My times in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies." Now, this is not a second thought. This is the result of my times in God's hand. I am delivered from my enemies. And so God will allow us to have enemies, but our times in His hand deliver us from our enemies. Even the slanderers who were against David. And it could be that they had something to say, because David was a mess. And David failed a great deal. Or it could be that it was simply an unmerited attack, because David had a king as his enemies and an army chasing after him to kill him. He had jealousy against him. He had reaction against him. So we don't know what the slander was about. Typically, slander is not true, and maligning is factual, but not of God. In other words, maligning is when I say something that is a fact, but contrary to the finished work. That is equally dangerous for the people who conduct that activity, because God then puts it on them, whether it was true or not, God puts it on them for doing the maligning or the slander. But David says, "My time's in your hands. Deliver me." See, it's not a comma, it's a colon. "My time's in your hands. Deliver me." The word "times" are F. And this is what it means. Time of events, the usual times, what we expect, our experiences and our fortunes. The experiences and fortunes, the occurrences also and occasions in your hand. Now here's the thing about hand. We think of it as the hand because that's in English what it means. But that's not what the Hebrew says. The word there is yad. It can mean hand, but really it's talking about three other things. It's talking about power, strength, we've heard those before. But it's also talking about axle, like on a vehicle. Holds two wheels together. Holds the round part that holds the wheels, the axle. Alright, so what this is saying, my time's in your axle. Changes our understanding a bit, doesn't it? My time's in your axle. And that's exactly right. My time's in God's axle. It turns, it's not even the wheels, it's the source of the turning. This is why we are told in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. My times are in God's axle. I cannot be wise in my own eyes if my times are in God's axle. Just like Jesus said to Peter, when you are spiritually matured, another will gird you and take you where you might not want to go. The wind blows and nobody knows where it's coming from and nobody knows where it's going. And so it is with the Spirit of God. My times and the Spirit within me who guides me in all truth are in God's axle. So don't look to understand your own life. Don't look to understand your own events. One of the greatest sources of negativity in the Christian's life is when they try to understand and they fail to do so. And then they turn to their natural thinking and evaluation by sight and say, now I understand that it was bad. But the fact of the matter is, it's only their perception and it's an incorrect perception. The fact of the matter is, by virtue of being the new man, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's followed by 2 Corinthians 5:18. It's a continuation of the same thought. All things are from God, by virtue of being the new man. Because He's reconciled all things unto Himself, by virtue of being the new man. So the one new man, the source of that, the source of the experiences that I have in that, is God's axle. Because the time that I live is not my time, but His. Because it is one new man, and the times that I have are the times of the one new man. Before that, I had nothing but dead and trespasses and sins. So I started dead, and a dead man has no times. But then Christ made us alive. And when He made us alive, He made us one with Himself, because that was the only source of life that a dead sinner could hope to have. In fact, that was available to him. Because only God can raise the dead. And that's what happened with us. God raised the dead. See, this is the funny thing. We think it's such backward terms in the world. And the world teaches us to think, and even us Christians, we think that we are thinking with God, but all too often we are thinking with worldly thinking. We think we live and then we die, but it's the other way around. We started dead and then we live. And that is to our benefit because we died with Adam. So when I was born, I inherited Adam's condition, and that was a condition of dead and trespasses and sins. So Christ could make us alive again. And that's why the life that we now live in Galatians 2:20, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It's God's life in us, that passage says, not our life. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. I have no life apart from Christ. In John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. The branches cannot live apart from the vine. The vine can live apart from the branches though. But a branch needs the vine. So He started dead and He makes us alive. We are in a body of death. And what's going to happen to that body of death? When we depart from that body of death, that body of death goes into the ground. That's the nature of death as we know it in a human experience. The fact of the matter is nothing dies. In a manner of speaking, even right now, as you are sitting there or listening on the internet, your body is nothing more than a collection of chemical responses, certain chemicals put together in specific ways, and a living soul and spirit, if you are saved, inside of that body. But when that soul and spirit merge and leave that body, what happens to the body? It seems to die. Yet get this. The chemical processes are still taking place. Hair still grows. Nails still grow. Muscles still work. Nerves still work. Everything is still functional. The heart stops beating, you say, only because it's not receiving nourishment. If the heart could be given nourishment, it would beat indefinitely. As a matter of fact, you could take the heart out of the body and it will keep beating so long as there is nourishment for it. And scientists have done that with animals. They take the heart out, put it in a nutrient broth, and the heart keeps beating because it's able to absorb the nutrients. Here's the thing. The thing that is alive in us is Christ. That's why we're alive. Yes, the people who are not saved, they are alive in as much as they have a living soul, but they have no living spirit. And so while they are biologically alive, they are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. But in their case, it's the same thing with their body. When their soul leaves, it will not merge with the spirit. It will simply leave individually as a soul and then perish in hell. But for us, because we have a living spirit that is connected and functional and receiving from the Holy Spirit, we go to heaven as the spirit merges with our soul. So very much our time on God's axle. Our time on God's axle. Because it's the one new man, the God man, who has the mind of God and the body of a man, but still very much the two become one, experiences all the things that God has for the God man, because our time is on His axle. It's a very different proposition about time than most of the world will tell you. Our time on God's axle. Trust in the Lord with all your ways and lean not on your own understanding. Lean is shalom. It's a niphal, imperfect. Niphal simply means passive. Imperfect, a progressive action. Repetitive, progressive action. Leaning. And it's a passive. Not unto your own understanding. But what? Trusting God. Trusting God. That's what causes me to lean. I lean on the right thing. I don't lean on my own understanding by virtue of trusting God. If I don't trust God, if I'm not operating in faith through the mind of Christ, if I don't trust God, I will lean on my own understanding. That will be the default condition. So we have a situation where we are on God's axle in union union with our Savior as one organism, experiencing God's times as He takes us where He wills. When something wrong comes, when there is an attack, perhaps, difficulty, we are delivered because our time on God's axle delivers us from our enemies. This is why Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good for the believer. How is that? Because we are on God's axle. That's our times, on God's axle. So long as we are in time, that's where we are located, on God's axle. So we trust in the Lord, and we don't lean on our understanding. Why? Because we don't steer the axle. Can you imagine if I close my eyes, I get behind the wheel, my foot is on the gas and my hand's on the wheel and my eyes are closed and the head is cut off from the process? Well, the eyes are perception. Can you imagine if we have a perception apart from the mind of Christ and we try to steer? That's what happens when we walk by sight. That's what happens when we try to figure out our own way. Our hands are on the wheel, our feet are on the pedal, and our eyes are closed, and we say, okay, go. And what happens? We crash. Every single time. And we scratch our heads. And then we blame God, because it didn't go well. And God, as I have my eyes closed, and my hands on the wheel, and my foot on the pedal, direct me. Crash. God's not there to direct my natural understanding. God replaces my natural understanding with His thinking, with His mind. And so I don't need to be taught by unsaved people. I don't need to be counseled by those who don't know the mind of Christ. I don't need somebody to tell me this is how things ought to be who does not know the Savior. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us. And we together are the one new man. So that's not saying that I don't need your portion. That's saying that I need the Spirit in you, and I need the Spirit in me, and I need the mind of Christ in you, and I need the mind of Christ in me, because together we are the collective one new man as the body of Christ. And so we acknowledge our condition. We don't lean on our own understanding. And then He's able to direct our path. In other words, the driver drives, or you could say the eyes are opened and on the road. Isn't that a weird saying, keep your eyes on the road? And so we won't go any further than that. But then He is able to direct us, because we're not trying to direct ourselves. When I try to direct myself, it always goes wrong. Here's a funny thing I've noticed about this. I'm sure some of you have noticed this too. You can't predict God. Even if God gives you a promise, even if God gives you a call, you cannot predict God. I knew when I was a young man, I'm still a young man, but I knew when I was a younger man, that I would be a pastor. For 17 years, I knew I would be a pastor. I could not for the life of me predict the path that God would put me on to realize that. I would have never guessed. I knew the outcome. I could not figure out the path. see, when we try to control our own life, we say, I got the path figured out. And this is the path to the outcome. I know it. But only God knows the end from the beginning, and only God knows how to get to the end from the beginning. I can take a left, and I can take a right, but God will get me there. And I just get lost along the way if I try to drive myself. And so I have to realize that my times are in God's axle. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creatures and all things have become new, and that all things are of God in verse 18. All things are of God. All things. Why? Because we are one new man, a new creature, a new species, brand new, newly made, kainos, newly made. Newly made creatures. Not old creatures, not refurbished. Newly made. I think most Christians say, I'm a new creation, and they think, I am refurbished. And by virtue of being refurbished, I am new. God took the old, fixed it up, made me better. No. Killed the old, replaced it with the new. Drives me nuts. I hear people saying, I was 20 years old and I was an alcoholic or a drug addict or what have you. Well, thank you for putting that in my frame of reference. I really needed that permanently ingrained in my brain related to you. Now, have you ever noticed you can't even help yourself? It's simply the function of the brain. When somebody does that, the next time you see them, oh, this is the one who was an alcoholic. And you feel guilty about it afterwards, because you know in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, don't know any man after the flesh. And part of the guilt is caused by the fact that it's not what it says or what it appears to say. It means don't know any man after your own flesh, not after their flesh. But by doing that, they put seeds into our thinking, and then they activate our thinking and activate our connection to them according to something that was dead. What do you do when they say that? Well, you can't always address them, but when you can address them, you address them and say, no, you weren't. And if you can't address them in your own mind, you say, no, you weren't. That's a lie. You were not. And you simply cast that projection out. You see, there is no alcoholic or prostitute or drug addict among Christians. And I understand that Christians may have weaknesses and failures and things like that, but the instant that they do that, the blood of Christ cleanses them from that sin. And it's removed from them, and that is their identity. God's times, the times of the new man, don't include drugs or alcohol or prostitution or pornography or lying or stealing or cheating or whatever it is that people do. It includes the life of the new man. And when God says all things are from Him, it does mean all things. Because our times are in God's axle. People say, well, that happened to me. This person said or did this or that circumstance or my boss. And God says, your times are in my axle because you are one with me. Tell me something. When Paul saw Pilate, and Pilate said to him, don't you realize that I have the power to crucify you? Did Jesus say, oh my goodness, I didn't think of that. Yeah, I guess you do. What did Jesus say to him? You have no power over me except that which was given to you from heaven. But who was in charge of heaven? You see, the one new man His times are determined by His own mind. And in our case, that happens to be the mind of our Savior. And He turns our times. He directs our path. And all things are from Him. And you know what? In 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things really are for our sake. For our benefit. Why? Because we've been reconciled together with that one new man. We say, well, if I didn't mess it up, but this is happening because I messed something up. No, it's not. You may think it is, but if it had anything to do with you at all, then it was because God had allowed you to participate in the circumstance that He brought into your life. And He brought it for your benefit, for your good. He brought it so that you, number one, would get to know Him. I remember Tony when he was dying, Tony Fita, dying of cancer, and Pastor Stevens visits him. And Pastor asks him, how you doing, Tony? He said, I'm getting to know God in this situation. Tony knew his times were on God's axle. I'm getting to know God in this situation. Things aren't going well at work. I'm getting to know God in this situation. My health isn't good. I'm getting to know God in this situation. My kids are driving me insane. They're not doing what I want. They're rebelling against me. I'm getting to know God in this situation. People are attacking me. I'm getting to know God in this situation. Somebody did something to me. I'm getting to know God in this situation. Terrible things have happened. I'm getting to know God in this situation. Our times are on God's axle. And He takes us where He wills. And the funny thing is, you can't figure out where it's coming from. And you can't figure out where it's going. The only option you have is trust in the Lord in all your ways and don't lean on your own understanding. But then you can acknowledge Him. And He directs your path. You know what? He was directing it all along, because the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He was ordering it all along. But by acknowledging Him, you recognize that He's the one who's ordering your steps. And you can relax. And you can depart from evil. Interesting juxtaposition, isn't it? Be not wise in your own eyes. Wise is shrewd, skilled, crafty, learned, prudent, or wise. That's what that word means. It's the Hebrew word chacham. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Have regard for who God is. In other words, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to have your own understanding. Have regard for who God is and depart from evil. What is evil? The other government. That's what evil is. The other government. There's God's government and there's the other government. There's only the two. Depart from that government which you enter through your own understanding at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was a governmental tree, a kingdom tree. And the other one was a tree of life, a kingdom tree. You could paraphrase and you could say, depart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and start eating at the tree of life. And then you will appreciate, like Paul did, the axle. And maybe that you say, these things are difficult. And they well may be. For example, losing a loved one is difficult. Illness is difficult. Kids are rebelling and turning against God. That's difficult. But you're on God's axle. I can never say to myself, it's about my circumstance or about other people or about what has happened to me or what is going on, because I'm on God's axle. God has one interest: to conform me to His image. He wants me to know Him so that I can be conformed to Him, so that I can be the one new man in my experience. Amen? Amen.